All right, let's take our psalm books. Let's take our Bibles. I used to say in psalm books, let's take our Bibles. And I have preached out of hymn book before. I don't think I've ever done it here, but I have done that before a couple times. Take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Started thinking about a couple weeks ago what I want to speak about, and forgot at that time that it was the Wednesday before missions. So I kept on trying to change it back to a mission message, and Lord would never give me freedom to do that. I even tried today to change it to one. And we've been learning the song. We taught it Sunday night about he paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately. And I want to speak on that subject tonight of forgiveness. And then when Brother Thomas got up and preached Sunday night, he preached on bitterness. And at the end, he brought in a little bit of about forgiveness. Well, I'm preaching on forgiveness, and at the end, I'm going to say a little bit about bitterness. So I guess God wants to emphasize that in our hearts tonight. Okay, and so Matthew chapter 18, and excuse me just a second. Matthew chapter 18, and look at verse 21 with me. We'll start there. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? There's a lot right in that verse right there we could talk about. We're not even going to spend much time there. We'll say a few things about this. But several questions asked there by Peter, and Peter always was one of those that always asked the questions, okay? There's one in every family. There's one in every classroom. There's one at every job, always asking all the questions, okay? I've enjoyed being around Brother Thomas and his family and his children, very well-behaved children, and the littlest one, he's not even 3 years old. It's amazing the questions he comes up with. And we'll just be talking about something else, and out of the blue, he's got another question for us. But Thomas was one that asked a lot of questions throughout the Word of God, and that could become a series in itself, the questions that Thomas Peter asked, excuse me. And but he asked, how many times should we forgive somebody? Let me just give you a little background as an introduction of this chapter 18. Basically, the chapter is broken into three parts, and the first part talks about humility. This is talking about the relationship with man to man, humans to humans, and Christ is teaching them here. And in the first part of the chapter, in verse 1, it says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? There's another question. And boy, they're expecting some great, you know, theological answer, something that God would bring to them. They really, you know, would know the answer. And he says, you got to humble yourself as a child. You got to become like a child to be the greatest in all the earth. And so he was our example in that. He humbled himself and came to this earth. And so the first part of that verse the first part of the chapter talks about humility, getting your eyes off yourself, getting your eyes off the things that matter to you, and looking first unto Jesus and then looking to the desires and the needs of others. And then the next part of the chapter talks about not only humility, but talks about honesty. And several things in the middle part of the chapter, they were having some problems in the church, and they want to know how to take care of those problems, and laid it out perfectly how to do it. If there's a problem with a brother in Christ, you go to them individually, and then if they won't answer that, you take them with a group, and then if you have to, bring them before the whole church and all that. And dealing with honesty, being honest with one another, dealing with problems in a biblical manner. So many times we get ourselves in trouble in relationships, in our homes, in churches, amongst one another because we don't deal with the problems biblically. And we try to do it the way we want to. And so, and then we come to verse 21 where we started tonight, and he deals with the area of forgiveness. And, you know, I read a poem this week, and I want to read it to you. Talk about thinking about heaven and how we're going to enjoy heaven and all the people and how we're going to get along and all that. And I thought this was interesting. It said, to live above with saints we love will truly be glory. To live here below with those we know, now that's a different story. Okay, so it's going to be wonderful when we get to heaven. Everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be perfect. There's going to be no sin there. We're gonna have the right motives and everything when we get to heaven. But down on here on earth, this nasty now and now, we have to deal with people. We have to learn how to have good relationships. But if we'll learn those three steps, the humility, honesty, and then forgiveness, we can get along with one another a lot better. And so I want us to read this story that's found here in the rest of this chapter. Very interesting. It's a parable that Jesus gives the disciples. And let's look at verse 22. It says, Jesus said to them, I say not unto thee, verse 22 is answering Peter's question. He said, Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, until 70 times seven. And it was a policy or a situation. If someone forgave four times in the Roman culture, then that's all they had. Then the matter was taken care of. They'd done their part. And so Peter thought he was extending that and kind of being spiritual, you know, kind of a little, maybe pious a little bit. Well, what if I forgive him seven times? He probably expected an answer from Christ that would say, yeah, that makes you a good Christian. You forgive him seven times. And what he said to them in verse 22, he says, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. He wasn't keying in on 490. He was saying basically unlimited forgiveness. And that's what we have to have if we're going to have the right kind of relationship with one another. We've got to have unlimited forgiveness. And we'll see our example in Christ. He had unlimited forgiveness. Aren't you thankful for that? If it wasn't for his unlimited forgiveness, we would not be going to heaven today. And so let's read this story, this parable that he gave them, starting in verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. And that certain king, by the way, is a picture of Christ or of God, which would take account of his servants. He was settling up with his servants, and he had every right to do this. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I've read a lot of commentaries in the last couple of weeks and listened to a couple of things and looked things up on, and how much is 10,000 talents? I didn't get one answer that was the same with any of them. They all had their own thoughts, all right? Anywhere from $10 million worth in today's thing all the way up to almost $800 million. Okay, anyways, that's a lot of money. Okay, if you owe $10 million, you'd have a hard time working in your lifetime to even pay that back. And that's the point that was being made. This is a story that God gave them. And so he owed this money. And so this king, this lord, is going to settle up with a servant, and he wanted his money. But verse 25 says, but for as much as he had not to pay, his lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Now, this servant represents you and I. Represents all sinners. And so that represents everybody in this world, because everyone's a sinner. And so there was a debt that was needed to be paid. It couldn't be paid. And so what would happen if they didn't pay their debt? Then they would sell the husband, the servant. They'd sell his wife. They'd sell his children. If he had any livestock, if he had any material beings, they would sell it all. But that wouldn't even come close to paying off the bill. But then the debt was free. But then they would have to be servants the rest of their lives to the master. And so they he was going to have to pay this back. Look at verse 26. Let's see his reaction, the servant's reaction. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. So what he did, I can just imagine this. I tried to picture this in my mind. I can just see that servant just falling to his knees and grasping the Lord by the his legs and just begging him, please, Lord, if you have patience with me, I'll pay this bill off. I'll pay my debt. Now, I don't know if he was oblivious to how much he really owed, but there was no way he could pay this debt off. But he's asking the Lord patience. He's humbling himself. He's trying to show his humility so that the Lord would have patience with him. Then it says in verse 27. I love this verse. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He said, servant, you've proved yourself. You've proved your sincerity. Your debt's been paid. Now, I just want you to imagine with me the burden that was lifted off that man. He was down on the ground. He was praying. He was worshiping. He was asking. He was begging the Lord for forgiveness of his debt. And what happened? The Lord forgave it. And I can just imagine he probably almost just flew up off the ground, all right, worshiping and praising his Lord for what he would do for him. And so it's a time of celebration. The debt's been paid. And I'm thankful for the day when my debt was paid. There was a debt I couldn't pay. There's a debt I owed. But Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for my sins so that my debt would be paid for and I could have eternal life. Same for you tonight. You had a debt and you couldn't pay it. There's nothing you could do for eternal life. But our Lord said to his servants, you and I, I've paid your debt. It's all paid for. And we can praise the Lord for that tonight. Then we look at verse 28. Look what happened. But the same servant. Now, this is just a story that Christ is telling to his disciples. But the same servant, the very one that had just been released of all of his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. So he's just got done celebrating. His debt's been paid. And now he goes and finds a servant that owes him some money, owes him some things. And the Bible said he laid his hands on him. By the way, that wasn't laying on hands to pray for him for healing, okay? The Bible said he put around his neck, about to choke him, says, I want to be paid back what you owe me. And the Bible says here in verse 28, it was 100 pence. Now, again, I have a range of how much that's worth from all the different Bible scholars I read. But what I could come up with, probably an average, is about $17. Now, he's just been released of millions of dollars, how much ever that was worth, okay? And he goes after another servant for $17. In today's, that will hardly buy a lunch today. We could call it lunch money if you wanted to. He was going after this friend or this servant, this fellow servant who owed him some money, and he couldn't have the same attitude that his Lord had and just forgave him. You would have thought that's what he would have done. Look at verse 29. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. That sounds familiar. We just heard that just around the corner. He did the exact same thing. He fell down on the ground to his master, the Lord, and said, have patience with me, I'll pay it all. And he wanted to... He wouldn't do that. And look at these two servants. There's a couple things they have in common. They're both servants, okay? They're both on the low end of the totem pole, if you'd like to say. But they're also both debtors. Well, one had been cleared of it, but at one time they were both debtors. No matter how much money you owe, you're a debtor. Doesn't matter if you owe $17 or if you owe $10,000 or $10 million. When I spoke on finances to the Sunday school classes, if you're in debt, you're a servant to the master. If you're in debt, that's carried over you. And I've said this, I'll just say it again. It's a good idea for family members not to owe one another money. I've only seen it turn out good a couple times. All the rest of the time, it turns out bad. And so I won't get into all that tonight. But whoever we owe something to, we're in debt to them. We're a servant to them, the Bible teaches. So in verse 29, he fell down. Look at verse 30. And he would not. I was reading that, and he would not. I'm so glad in the first story that Lord didn't say, and he would not. Because again, as I said, that's a picture of our Savior. I'm so glad when he was in the garden, he said, Father, let not this cup pass from me. But he said, Lord, if what your will be done. Said to the Father, I want your will to be done. I'm so thankful he said that. I'm so thankful he didn't say, he will not. And so in verse 30 it says, he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now we think about $17, if that was that's what it was. Today, we could pay that off. Most people could pay that off or have someone help them pay it off. If you're going to be thrown in prison and you just owe $17, you come to Brother Tom Boland and he'll take care of it. Okay? No, any of us would do that for a friend. Okay? But $17 back then to the average person, the average servant, that was a lot of money. And the thing about it, you think about it, if this person is thrown in jail, even though he owes $17, he doesn't have the opportunity in jail to make money. And so he'll never be able to pay off that debt. And so he'll be in jail for the rest of his life. Verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw that what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. It upset the rest of the servants. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, that made his Lord angry, and delivered him to the tormentors, that's to the prison people, to the debtor prison, till he should pay all that was due unto him. And so I just want to give you three or four or five thoughts tonight, simple thoughts about forgiveness. This parable was used by Jesus to reinforce the power of forgiveness. He used it to show the principle, the importance of the principle of forgiveness. And I was talking to Brother Thomas, been spending some time with him this week, and he's had a lot of questions, just new in the ministry. And he was asking me about some of the great men of old. And I've watched men who had falling outs. And I've seen famous preachers do this. I've seen deacons do this. I've seen church members. I've seen family members do this. I'll give a personal story. One time we were in Louisiana, so this is years ago. And there was a man in our church. I had his teenagers, and for some reason he just didn't like what I was doing. He didn't like the way I did things. I know you can't imagine someone not liking Brother Mark. I understand that, but I just had the urgency in my heart after a message one night about forgiveness to go to him. And I went to him and I said, I'm not sure what I did to upset you. I'm not sure what happened, but I just want to ask your forgiveness. And from that point on, the rest of our ministry there, we were good. We were very close. And he was on my side in everything we did. And he became one of my biggest allies, and he would do anything for me. And I've seen the power of forgiveness personally in my life. Now, I don't know your situations. I don't know all your home situations. I don't know things that have happened in the past to you. But I do know this. There's a power in forgiveness. And if you'll get that straightened out, I don't care what the situation is. It could have gone back 40 years ago, and you're still bitter about those things. And we heard a great message on bitterness, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But we need to realize the power, first of all, of forgiveness. And then another thought tonight that I want you to see. And here's three things, and we'll be done tonight. First of all, man needs forgiveness. Man needs forgiveness. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. They committed that sin, and because Adam and Eve sinned, then we are sinners. And because of that, man needs forgiveness. Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all come short in many areas in our lives, and we need forgiveness for that. And so man needs forgiveness. But number two, I'm glad God graciously is willing to forgive. God is graciously willing to forgive. I heard about a pastor, and there was a lady that was coming to his church, and he thought something was different about her. And that's happened before to us. You know, you have someone come to the church, you're kind of wondering what's different about them. And this lady said that she was a prophetess, all right? She could prophesy. And I was read as a true story. And so he was trying to catch her. And he said, you know, when I was in Bible college, I sinned. And if you have a vision from God, would you just ask him what that sin was? And she said, all right. And a week later, she comes back to church. And he asked her, he said, did you have a vision from God? He said, oh, yeah, I had a vision from God. I did some prophesying this week. Well, did you ask him what that sin was? And I like her answer because it's true. He said, he forgot what that sin was. That was an easy way for her to get out of not being a true prophetess. But that's a true thing. Jesus Christ did forget. He has graciously forgiven us. You know, we hear a slogan or a saying, we need to forgive and forget. Did you know that's an impossibility for a human being? It takes a lot of hard work. It's an impossibility because what's put in our mind is always there. That's why we need to stay in the Word of God and let it cleanse our hearts and our minds so that if there's some things in our life that we can't put away, that would help us do that. And so God's the only one that can forgive and forget. I'm so thankful for that. I was thinking about this, thinking about these two servants. You know, this servant, he sinned, and because debt is a sin, he sinned, and God forgave him. And but when God died on the cross, he had already paid for all that sin. When you and I have a fuss, or wives and husbands have a fuss, God's already forgiven that. When he died on the cross for our sins, all the sin was forgiven. Now it's up to us on the human realm to do the forgiving so we can go along in our lives. And so God graciously forgives. And then the last thing I want us to know, I really want to dwell on tonight, is that we are expected to forgive. If Christ has forgiven us, and he has, if Christ has given us eternal life, then we need to forgive. Look what it says in the last verse. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. And let's take our Bibles, and we're going to turn over here, and we'll close with this scripture. That'll be the last scripture we read. Ephesians chapter 4, if you'd go there. Ephesians chapter 4, and look with me at verse 31 and verse 32. Here comes in that bitterness that Brother Thomas preached about Sunday night. This is commanded to you and I, to the Christian. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. But be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He was our example. When he forgave us of our sin debt and gave us eternal life, And so if we're going to be Christ-like, if we're going to live like Christ, then we're going to have to be willing to forgive. You know, I've done a lot of counseling down through the years. And many times, sometimes the bottom line problem that I've seen happen in people's lives down through the years is the base problem is that people aren't willing to forgive. You say, well, you don't know what my mother did to me. You don't know what a co-worker did to me. You don't know what a parent did to me. The Bible says if we're Christians, then we're going to be Christ-like and we're going to forgive. If you have some bitterness in your heart, and again, he spoke so great on that Sunday night, that unforgiveness is just going to eat at you. The Bible says here that they put him in prison. And spiritually speaking tonight, if you're not willing to forgive, I don't care what the situation is, it doesn't matter what's happened, if you're not willing to forgive, tonight you're in bondage. Tonight you're in prison to that unforgiveness in your life. And you're miserable and you can't be helped until you're willing to forgive. You know, we can hide some things. I think one of the greatest needs in our churches today and in our families today, in our lives today, is a willingness to forgive. Share a personal thing. When I was a boy, when you could let your kids just go outside at 8 o'clock in the morning, let them take a lunch in their pocket, maybe a peanut butter jelly sandwich, and call for them and they'd come in for dinner. We don't see that happening very much anymore, but those are fond memories for me. I can remember just going out and playing all day long. The neighbors' kids, the guys we'd get together, be five or six of us. And I can remember, and then there's good friends I had in church too, and I can remember this happening with us guys, you know. We'd get upset with one another, and man, we'd start fighting. We'd be tussling on the ground, and man, I'm never going to speak to you again. Before lunch was over, we were talking, everything was fine. Now, I've watched girls, it's a complete opposite story, okay. They fight, and they don't forget, all right. And, you know, we need to be like that. There's going to be tussles in life. There's going to be problems in life. There's going to be times when we can't get along because we're human. But if we'll humble ourselves, as the first part of the chapter says, and we'll be honest with ourselves, as the second part of the chapter says, and we learn to forgive, we can change lives. I really believe tonight, one of the reasons we're not seeing revival in our country, because I believe revival comes from the church house, not the White House. I believe revival comes in our personal lives when we're willing to say, Lord, whatever is in my life that's holding back your Holy Spirit and your power from our church and from our lives and from our homes, and we're willing to say, God, I'll get rid of that. Whatever it takes, I'll do it. I'll get rid of that bitterness or that strife or that unforgiveness in my life. I'll do that. I think if we do that, we'd see more revival. I remember back to the story I told you of the man down in Louisiana when we were serving there. I remember that church, and you've heard Brother McBride talk about it many times. We had a couple times. One time, we had revival. It was the very revival that my wife got saved in as a Christian school teacher. You've heard him talk about that, and Brother McBride was preaching. And we had over 50 people saved that week in our church. And a couple times in that church, we saw some great revivals. A lot of it came from people just getting things right with one another, forgiving one another, and saying, I want to put that aside. I just want to ask you a simple question tonight in closing. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to go to and say, there's been something between us, there's something wrong, I want to get it straightened out. It could be something recent. It could be something in the past. Might have to make a phone call. I've heard of people. I heard a story about forgiveness. Heard of a lady. She lost her mom to a drunk driver. And about 10 years later, and I know this family personally, about 10 years later, she got so burdened about not being able to forgive the man, the drunk driver that killed her mother. And she came to her husband. She goes, would you help me find that man? And he thought it was out of a spiteful thing. And he said, no, honey, we don't need to bring that back up. Let's not do that. She goes, honey, and she kind of put it away for a while. And a few weeks later, she goes, honey, I've got to find that man. Will you help me find the man that murdered my mother? He goes, honey, why do you want to do that? Because I want to see him face to face and let him know that I have finally forgiven him for what he's done. And so I just asked the question tonight, who do you need to forgive? Let's pray.